of Joshua chapter 16. Joshua chapter 16, we started a message last week, and the Lord's leading me to finish this message tonight, Joshua chapter 16. And you know, it's a blessing tonight to realize that we hold in our hands a copy of the blessed Word of God. Amen. I mean, it's our authority. If we didn't have God's Word, we couldn't get up here and preach with authority. The reason we preach with authority tonight is because we have the book from God Almighty. It's God's book. And since it's God's Word, we can rear back and preach it with authority. See, if I was preaching my word, I couldn't say with much authority. But when you say, "Thus saith the Lord," that's where it's all at. And we appreciate God. We appreciate what He's done. What would we do without His Word tonight? Amen. He's been good to us. He really has. We praise His name for it. Joshua chapter 16, and we're going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 10. Joshua chapter 16, verse 10. We've been traveling through the book of Joshua. I don't know if you've been enjoying it, but I've been having a time. I'll be honest with you. And we appreciate the powerful Word of God. The Bible says, "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse 10. I started it last week. We'll finish it tonight. It's the two words, the Ephraimites. The Ephraimites. And we're going to give you part two to this message on the Ephraimites tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your goodness to us. And I pray, Lord, that You help us to preach this with power and clarity. We thank You for who You are. We bless Your holy name tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Help us to preach it accurately. And Lord, with authority, with compassion, we pray. Somebody come to church but never come to Christ. May tonight be the glorious night when they see their need for Thee and be gloriously born again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephraim was the younger of the two sons of Joseph, who was born in Egypt. He and his brother Manasseh were adopted by Jacob and ranked as his own sons, and each becoming an ancestor of a tribe in Israel. Now we know that this tribe was a special tribe because men such as Joshua and Samuel came out of it. And in all of this, we see the Ephraimites had great potential to do something big for God. And having people such as Joshua and Samuel shows the caliber of people the Lord brought out from among them. However, through this text here, we see that our purpose tonight is this. We consider a good thing gone bad. A people who had great potential to do something for God ends up not living up to their God-given potential. Let me say this to you, that right here, every single person, listen to me right now, has great potential to do some big things for God Almighty. As a matter of fact, let me say this to you, some of the saddest things that you can ever think about is a graveyard tonight. I was telling this to my Sunday school class this morning. If we go down to any graveyard in anywhere in America or around the world, what you have buried there is one word, and that one word is potential. There are so many people who had potential to do great things for God who lived and died and didn't do anything for Him. Now, I'll be honest with you. I want everything God has for me. I'm not saying I have it all. I know I don't because I know I'm a sinner. But I want every single solitary thing God has for me. I want to meet the full potential that God has placed in my body. I'm talking about from every message preached to every book written. I'm talking about everything in life. Whatever He wants me to do, whatever He's given me the potential to do, I've committed myself to Him. Now, I'm not perfect, but I've committed myself to the Lord. God, if You'll show me what You want me to do and You help me, I'll do it. And let me say this to you. That ought to be your attitude too. You ought to have an attitude that whatever God wants you to do in your life, that you're going to do it. Don't die with potential. Now, especially young people, but really any age person, don't die with potential. We see the Ephraimites here were a people of potential who had gone bad and stopped short on Almighty God. Now, there's 3 points. We got through two of them last week. Let me just reach over and tap them on the head, and then we'll pick up in point number three. But number one, we looked at this last week. The first thing we noticed about the Ephraimites, a people of potential for God who did not live up to that potential. Number one, we noticed their rebellion.
That's brought out in verse number 10 where it says, they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Now in that statement there, it is clear rebellion against God Almighty. Now the word rebellion means armed resistance to one's government, a defiance of any authority. And we saw last week that in Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 27, Jeremiah chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 20, Numbers 33, Deuteronomy 7, Judges 1, Psalm 78, and Hosea 7. In all of those portions of Scripture, we see that God Almighty desires for His people to live in obedience to Him. And we see that before they ever step foot into the promised land, which is where they are right here as we read in Joshua 16, before they ever step foot into that land, God told them to kick out every inhabitant and kill every inhabitant off. In other words, don't let anybody stay in the land. But right here, the Bible says, they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. You listening to me? That is clear rebellion against God's authority in their life. Because God told them not to leave anybody there, and they chose to go ahead and leave the Canaanites there. Their rebellion. Number two, we looked at it last week, their reason. Why was it that they did not drive out the Canaanites? It's brought out in the last four words in this verse, and serve under tribute. Look at it. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute. Now what's the big deal there? The big deal is this. Do you realize that a tribute was a tax given to those that were in submission? In other words, if you were under submission to somebody else's authority, you had to pay them tribute. So get the picture tonight. These Ephraimites, who are God's people, who have God's word and God's command to drive these inhabitants out. Instead of obeying God, they disobey God. And the reason being is this, they were greedy. Well, that's brought out here because we see that they had more power than the Canaanites because they had the Canaanites paying them tribute, which is only a tax given to say, I am submitted to you. I am under your authority. But instead of obeying the mandate, they wanted money. Instead of following God, they were interested in financial gain. Instead of submitting to God, they were interested in personal sustenance. Get it? They were greedy. They were not godly. They wanted personal gain more than pleasing God. Let me say this to you again tonight, just like I did last week. That kind of a mindset is still eating Christianity alive around the world. It really is. Folks, do you realize that God has really I'm talking about simplified life. You know what He simplified life to be? A life of obedience. A life of obedience. That's the Christian life. Some people try to say, well, the Christian life, you got to do this, got to do that, got to do that, got to do that. Wait a minute. Let's simplify it. It's not hard. God says the Christian life is listening to me and doing what I tell you to do. Now, that's deep tonight, isn't it? Anybody not understand what I just said? Sure you do. You know why I pray? Now, do I need it? Don't say amen. I know I do. I know I need to pray, but why do I pray? Let me tell you why I pray. Because He told me to. Why do I read the Bible? I'm going to have to protect my voice here a little bit tonight because I've outlost it at camp last week. But let me ask you a question. Why should you read your Bible? Do you need it? Yes. But why should you read it? Let me tell you why. Because He told you to. Are you getting it? Why should you come to church? Because He told you to. Are you living in obedience to God? There are some people today who do not serve God because they think they can't get anything out of it. May I say something to you? It's not about me. It's about Him tonight. It's not about my pleasure. It's about His pleasure. In other words, there are so many people saying, I'm doing this because it feels good, or I'm doing this because it looks good, or I'm doing this because it tastes good. Wait a minute. What is God's will? What is the will of God? You know,
that is all that you need to be concerned about. What does God want me to do?
And you know the interesting thing about this? Is God has a will in every single area of our life. Every single area. You take salvation. He's not willing that any should perish. If you're here tonight and you've come to church, but you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you God's will for your life, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and become a child of God. That's the will of God. I don't care what you're going through, every single solitary area of life, God has a will in it. I preached a message a long time ago here entitled, "The Question That Settles Everything." When the Apostle Paul was struck down by the bright light on the road to Damascus. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's the question that settles everything. Let me tell you the kind of music you ought to listen to, young people, God's will. Let me tell you ought to marry, God's will. Let me tell you where you ought to work, God's will. God has a will in every area of life. Aren't you glad that's the case? See, life is not made up of many decisions. Life is made up of one decision that you have to make over and over again, and that is, what's God's will? What's God's will? What's God's will? What's God's will? That's the second thing we went over last week, is that is the reason, and the reason was money instead of obedience. Then that brings us to my third point, which is the point for tonight, and that is their result. Number one, their rebellion. They disobeyed God. Number two, their reason. But number three, their result. Now, there was a man who once said this, and it's good. It says this: it's a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it. Let me say it again. It's a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, we're going to be turning to two major portions of Scripture here in just a moment, and I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture. I don't normally do that when I preach, but I'm going to be doing it tonight because I want you to see it. What's the big deal? The Ephraimites let the Canaanites stay. So what? What's the big deal, man? What harm can it do? Now, they had a clear command of God. They didn't obey that command. They rebelled against it, and they were putting themselves above God. What's the big deal? I want you to flip over to the book of Judges with me just a moment. If you'll flip to the book of Judges and also find the book of Hosea. Now, that is the book right after the book of Daniel. Yes, that is a Bible book, Hosea. It's after the book of Daniel. I want you to find Judges and then find the book of Hosea, and I'm going to show you the result of their rebellion about not following God's command. Now, if you're sitting beside somebody who does not have a Bible, I want you to share your Bible with them. If you're sitting beside somebody that's not familiar with finding books of the Bible, that's not a problem, because that was all of us at one time and still a lot of us still now. Amen. So let somebody look off the Bible that you have. I want you to see this. Vitally important that you see this. Look at Judges chapter 2 first. Find your place also in Hosea and hold your finger there. We're going to look at Judges first. Judges chapter 2 verse 11. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, or the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asheroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed." And the Bible goes on to say, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bound themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." Look at verse number 20. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice,
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now here's point number one under this. Now understand that in chapter 1 of Judges, the Ephraimites are brought out in verse 29. And in verse 29, it's brought out to us that neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Sound familiar? So, in other words, what's happening in the nation of Israel, the Ephraimites are part of this. Okay? And right here in chapter 2, verses 11 through 17, and then in verses 20 through 23, they are serving Baal and Ashtaroth. You know what they did back in this day to serve Baal and Ashtaroth? Baal was the false god of rainfall and fertility. In other words, it was being taught back in this day that if you wanted to have large crops and large flocks, you had to earn the favor of Baal. And the way they would try to earn his favor, get this, they would visit a temple prostitute. Did you hear what I just said? They would go into God's house and have immoral relations with a lady trying to earn favor from Baal so he'd let it rain. That's what the Ephraimites are doing. Now it's Israel, but the Ephraimites are part of that. That's what they're doing here. In verses 16 and 17, we see that they do not want anything to do with their judges. Now you know who the judges are a picture of today? The preachers, the leaders. And we see that the Ephraimites, the Israelites, but Ephraim is a part of that, you understand. We see that they're serving Baal and Ashtaroth, and then they don't want anything to do with the judges of their day. They don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want to listen to the Bible. They want anything to do with it. Then we go on to Judges chapter 3. Look at verse number 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. They took their daughters to be their wives, gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. Highlight. That's exactly what God said would happen if they didn't drive them out. God told them in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, if you do not drive them out, you will intermarry them, and you're not going to serve me. You will turn away from me and serve their gods. And that's, by the way, God always knows. He knows what's going to happen. And it's happening right here. Look at verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God's anger to be hot against you? This is scaring me. I hope it does. I don't know about you, but I don't want God angry with me. Amen. By the way, we're missing the fear of God in our country. We're missing the fear of God in our churches. I do not want God's anger hot against me. You know how it got hot against them? They disobeyed him. It's that simple. It's that simple. And right here, they're intermarrying and they're serving their gods and they have forgotten the Lord. Who's part of that? The Ephraimites. Now, not the same ones in chapter 1, because in chapter 2, verse 10, those people have died, but they helped create this generation right here because they didn't obey God. Look at Judges chapter 10. Judges chapter 10. I'm just trying to show you the result of their rebellion. In other words, what's the big deal? They didn't obey God. What's the big deal, Jody? What's it matter? Hey, I can live my life any way I want to live it. I can do whatever I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, including God. Go ahead, and you're going to make a mess out of your life. Because that's exactly what happens when we disobey the God of heaven. The Bible says in Judges 10, verse 9, look at it. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house, here it is, of Ephraim. So that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. Now notice, and the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Dizonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you. Ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more.
Now we realize he was merciful after this. But folks, God says this, I have been so good to you in the past. I have taken care of you. I have brought you out of Egypt, and I have helped you when you called upon me, but you have disobeyed me. You have forsaken me. Now I'm going to turn my back on you. Do you want to get there in your life? Now we know that the Lord never forsakes his children, but he can withdraw his hand to blessing. And I'll be honest with you, I want the Lord's blessing in my life. You should too. You know how you get it? You got to go over in the corner somewhere and take some pills. No. You know how you get it? You obey him. Boy, this is deep, isn't it? How do you get the blessing of God? You obey him. Whatever he says. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Why? Preacher told me. Wrong. That motive is not big enough. If your motive is not because God told me, you will not read it every day of your life. You understand what I'm trying to teach you tonight? Obey God. Judges chapter 17, verse 1. Judges chapter 17, verse 1. Judges 17, verse 1. There is a man of Mount Ephraim. There it is, Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spake of also in mine ears, hold, the silver is with me. I took it, and his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord my son. When he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah, and the man Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Don't you see the twisted mindset here? I mean, here's this mother saying, hey, this money is going to go to serve God, and the way we're going to serve him, we're going to make some false idols. Ridiculous. You know what some of the craziest people are in this world? I'm talking about some of the people that make no sense at all. None. Are those who are clearly disobeying God and yet they're trying to justify themselves. You ever notice that? I mean, their excuses. Why weren't you in church? God knows that, I have to get in bed early at night because, you know, if I don't get up at 3:30 in the morning and I don't get up and do this, I can't have my prayer devotions. I'm talking about, it's crazy. Crazy. All I'm saying is, here's a mother who's saying, I want my son to serve God and I'm going to help him. Let's make some false idols. What in the world is that? I mean, come on, folks. We see that this is where the Ephraimites are going. The Bible says in Jeremiah 7:15, I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now I realize that Ephraim is sometimes used for the northern ten tribes of Israel, because Ephraim was the largest of the tribes. But don't miss the point that even though it's used sometimes as a collective term, like in the book of Hosea, where you're at, I hope, in just a moment. I know it's talking about the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, but don't miss it. Ephraim is part of that. The Ephraimites are part of that. And we're seeing what happened when they disobeyed God. We're looking at the result. Now, flip over to Hosea with me. Hosea chapter number 5. I told you I'm reading a lot of scripture here, and I'm doing it on purpose because I want you to see it. I want you to see this. Look at Hosea chapter 5 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and the pride of Israel does testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. By the way, this is God speaking. God says they're going to fall in their iniquity. Look at verse number 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim, get it, as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim, now I realize that that's Israel, saw his sickness
And Judah saw his wound. Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could not he heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Strong language. Strong language. Look at chapter number 9 and verse number 11. The Bible says, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Now keep in mind, this is talking about the northern kingdom, but keep in mind the Ephraimites are part of that, you understand. They are part of this group. Verse number 12, though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, and there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what would thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house, and I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. And they shall be wanderers among the nations. Look at chapter number 7 and verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Sound familiar? He hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Look at Hosea chapter 12. I'm going to have you turn to two more passages of scripture here in Hosea. Hosea 12 verse 8. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. One more verse. Look at chapter 4 and verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. Look at it. The Bible says in Hosea 4, 17, what a sad verse. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. By the way, that's God speaking. Look here, please. I don't want God to leave me alone. Do you? Do you want God to leave you alone? I want God to bombard me. I want him to walk with me and talk with me and love on me and help me and care for me and bless my life. I don't want to be a cake not turned. I don't want to be joined to idols and he says, leave him alone. I want everything God has for me. Let me tell you how you get it. It's the major thought of the message. Obey him. Just obey him. You know, we have two kinds of people listening tonight. Those who are living in obedience and those who are living in disobedience. It's that simple. What they thought would bring them gain, because remember they were getting paid tribute. What they thought would bring them gain actually took away from them, made them idolaters, and brought God's judgment upon them. It never pays to disobey God. It always costs. Every time. Every time. It never pays to disobey God. It always costs. I told you this story last week. I tell it to you again. There was a lady who told her son, who was playing with paper bags she had saved, he wanted to play with them, and she said, well, I'll let you play with them as long as you put them away when you're done. One day she walked into the kitchen to find all those paper bags just all over the floor, but her boy, who she told could play with them as long as he put them up, was out at the piano with his daddy singing hymns, praise songs to God. When confronted, he protested, "But Mom, I want to sing." His daddy spoke up and said, "It's no good singing God's praise if you're disobedient." You know, there's a lot of people tonight who sang the hymns. But are you a hypocrite? Because you're singing the praises of God, and yet there's an area in your life where you're disobeying Him. Simple, isn't it? 1 Samuel chapter 12, do not turn to it. Let me just read it. 1 Samuel 12, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. Listen to this, please. "If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." I ask you a question. How much of God's blessing do you want? You can have as much of it as He can give if you simply obey. Jeremiah 38, 20, "Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so shall it be well unto thee." Jeremiah 42, 6, "It may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." You know, Ephraim didn't obey. They were a people of potential that went bad. I wonder tonight, are you living in obedience to God? I share this story with you. I'm slowly coming to a close. I just came off of a week at camp. Preached Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, and every one of those messages except for Wednesday night was outside under the open air tabernacle and sawdust flying around everywhere, and I think some of those boogers got in my throat. I about lost my voice. But you know, it's amazing how God worked that week. It's amazing. Let me just talk to you just a minute. It's amazing how God showed up. We had several young people trust the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior during the week. We had a lot of these kids. I mean, folks, I'd get up and preach on one subject, and they would be responding to something I didn't even preach on. I mean, I'd preach on something like, "You need to be praying," and then they'd be making decisions saying, "I need to read my Bible every day. I need to get right with Mom and Daddy. I need to get the music out of my life." All these kind of things, whatever the case may be. You know, I got to thinking when I got back. I know Thursday night, which was the last night that I preached, we had a great moving of God, and these kids were getting right with the Lord. And at the end, they were calling off all the names, and they came to the last card, and they called this young man's name off, and they had him stand, and sharp-looking teenager, sharp-looking. When he stood up with a shirt and tie on him, he just looked great. And from the pulpit, they grabbed his card and said, "Let me ask you a question." Said, "Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins?" He said, "Yes." And they said, "And you're coming tonight to trust Him as your Lord and Savior?" He said, "Yes, sir." And that young man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ Thursday night. He found me at the bonfire service and came up to me and said, he said, "I just want you to know that I trusted the Lord tonight." That young man's from Connecticut. And you know, I come back and we have a great church. Amen. We have a great church. We really do. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to ask. Please don't misunderstand it. But I go to a week like that, and I see these kids moving. And on this mission trip that we're getting ready to take, we're going to see it again, I have no doubt. I'm talking about God saving people. I'm talking about God changing lives. I'm talking about breaking hearts, and they're weeping, and they're crying, and they're getting right with God and getting sin out of their life and getting as close to God as they can. And I ask myself a question. Why do we not see that on a more consistent basis? Why do we not see that on a more consistent basis in our church, in our Sunday school classes, in our families, in our homes? You know what came to my mind? One word. Distractions. See, these kids, when they go to camp and when they go on the mission trip, listen,
They're taking away, they're taking away from their cell phones, they're taking away from the television, they're taking away from their ungodly music, and they're separated under the gospel of God, and they are pumped full of the Word of God for a week. And when all they get is God's Word and this trash is not pumping in them, they respond. And they get right with God, and God breaks their heart, and they go home and start making a difference for God. There's no doubt, so many times we are guilty of allowing distractions to keep us from obedience. I'm talking about, well, I'm not going to do this because I've got this to do. I'm not going to go there and do that for God because I've got something else that's more important, but yet it's all physical. Distraction. Distraction. Ephraimite. 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 What's the big deal? The big deal is you are creating a generation who may not know God at all. That's the big deal. If you and I don't follow God completely ourselves. What's the message from the Ephraimites? The message is this. They had a command. They disobeyed it. They disobeyed it because they wanted to get something out of it. And because of that, they created a generation who was bowing down to Baal, bowing down to Asheroth, didn't care about the preacher, didn't care about what God said, intermarried, started building false altars, started living it up. And folks, they had a wrecked and ruined life because the former generation did not obey. Obey God and He'll bless you. Disobey God and it's going to be bad news. Do you believe that tonight? That's the Bible. And I wonder, is there any area in your life where you're rebelling? Get it right tonight and say, God, help me not to be like an Ephraimite. Help me to be a Joshua. Help me be a Caleb. Help me serve you with all my heart. If you do that, He'll bless your life. He really will. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, help me now. I thank You for this message. Thank You for helping my voice to last through. And I pray tonight that You help me to guide, lead, and direct this invitation in a way that You see fit and a way that You are pleased. Father, help us to have a great moving of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see things happen for Thee. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I always start off with this unless it just completely slips my mind. The first area of obedience that you need to be concerned with. I'm talking about the first area where God wants your complete obedience, where you ought to say, yes, I'll do that. That is in the area of your salvation. Realizing that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And that the Bible tells us in the New Testament that God is not willing that any should perish. It is not God's will for you to die without His Son, Jesus, and go to a devil's hell. It is God's will that you accept His free gift and live forever in heaven. Will you obey? Will you say yes in that area? By the way, it's your decision. It's your choice. You don't have to say yes to anything that God tells you to do. But if you do, He'll bless you beyond measure. If you don't, you're cursing yourself. The decision's up to you. If you know without a doubt that heaven is your home, you know without a doubt that heaven is your home, please don't condemn yourself. But if you know without a doubt, as God's watching you, that your heaven is that heaven is your home, that you have trusted Christ, no doubt in your mind, you know that you're a Christian. If and only if you can say that, would you raise your hand in the air? Only if you can say that. Just be an honest person. That's all I'm asking you to be. But just be honest. Thank you. Now, some of you could not say that. And may I say thank you for being honest? Thank you for being honest. You know where it all starts with salvation? It starts with you being honest. Saying, I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Now, if you could not raise your hand, I want to say something to you. I am not going to call you out. I will not embarrass you. I will not come to your seat. I will not try to drag you down this aisle. But I do want to know if we have any lost people here so I know how to extend this invitation. If you could not raise your hand, thank you for not raising it and being honest. But if there is something in you right now that says, Jody, I could not raise my hand, but I want to be able to raise my hand. I realize that I need to obey God in this, and I need to trust the Lord as my Savior. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not a Christian, or I'm not sure, and God is speaking to me, and I need to make this right. I want to go to heaven. I don't know it, but I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all like that? At all? Would you raise your hand in the air? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure. I just need to be sure. I'd like to make sure. Anybody at all? And let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest with God. I'm an Ephraimite. I am an Ephraimite. By the way, this doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something that you should not do. Keep in mind, they didn't do something that they should have done here. They didn't drive out the Canaanites. Understand, disobedience to God can be sins of commission, but it can also be sins of omission. In other words, sins that you commit or sins that you think that you ought to be doing that you're not doing. Have you be an honest person tonight and say, Jody, if I had to be honest with God, I must say that I'm an Ephraimite. There's an area in my life, whether it's something I'm doing I shouldn't be doing or something that I'm not doing that I should be doing. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? God is speaking to me, and I believe I'm an Ephraimite, and there's something that I need to get right. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Thank you. Good. Good. Now what I'd like to do is in just a moment we're going to pray. And Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. I'd like our altar workers to be ready because we want to make sure that these folks who respond, make sure we help them accurately. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, break it, use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you right now, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, would you leave your place now, please?
You have longed.
You say, there's something in my life. I'm an Ephraimite.
And for faith,
I'm an Ephraimite. There's something I need to get right. There's something I need to get right. Why don't you come now? Why don't you come
you
now? Why don't you ask God to help you now? May the Lord help you with this. May God help you with this. May the Lord help you with this.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit
God help you with this? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. God help you with it.
You can only be blessed
and have peace and sweet rest
as you yield him your body and soul.
As they play through, if you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. I like how practical the Bible is. Just so practical. I never want to be a preacher that tries to preach up here. I want to be a preacher that preaches as short as I am, if you understand what I mean by that. If you can't get it and you can't understand it, how's it going to help you, right? What's the message of the Ephraimites? The message of the Ephraimites is whatever God tells you to do, do it. If you do, he blesses you. If you don't, it's not only going to affect you. You're going to be like a cake that's not turned, but you're going to create another generation who may not even care about God at all. Now, is that serious with you tonight? Are you serious about something like that? Have you all have children still at home? Would you raise your hand? You have still children still at home? Let me ask you a question.
how right with God are you, Mom and Daddy? Can you get any closer? Can you do any more? Is there anything in your life that you need to correct for their sake? Maybe God's dealing with you. Maybe God wants you to bring your family to the altar tonight. You say, Jody, trying to get me here? Yes, I'm trying to get you here. Yes.
Because it can change your life. Maybe some of us need to come and say, God, remove the distractions out of our family and help us to focus completely upon the Lord. God, help us with this. Brother Gary, what number is that?
293.
Take a hymnal, turn to page 293. God is working, God's moving. We praise Him for it. Bless His holy name. Let's sing that second verse, Brother Gary. If God's dealing with you, maybe you won't bring your family, men. Some of you men would shock your wife if you grabbed her by the hand and said, let's go to the altar because you've never been here. And let me tell you something, that's a problem. That's a problem. God help you with it. Let's sing that second verse together, please.
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always?
Always.
You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all
oh,
you
God is working.
Lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
I say this right before I turn over to the preacher. If you're visiting with us tonight, you don't normally come here. Thank you for coming. God bless you for being here. We're thrilled to have you in our services. And I wish that you'd come out my door in the back. I'd like to get to know you, shake your hand, speak to you just a moment. And we praise God you're here tonight. We ask the Lord to meet with us in a mighty way. Preacher, you go right ahead, sir.
Just keep playing softly, please. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Jody, for that fine message. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank the Lord for His blessing on this day. It's been a great day. Let's be dismissed with prayer. And let's see, Brother Ira, hey, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?